the first chapter, chapter 1. Genesis 1. Allow me to read again from Genesis 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Lord, thank you again for giving us your word. How else would we know these things? It would just be up for grabs. It would be for opinion. It would be especially imagination. What have people come up with in their imaginations as to how everything got here? Fanciful at best. Lord, thank you for the truth, the veracity, and the timeliness of your word. Lord, that we can come to it and look into it, and in doing that, realizing at the same time you're looking into our lives and our hearts. And Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for your faithfulness, for your patience and grace. All that we are going to marvel at, especially later, as we remember the gift of your Son, Jesus, for us. The forbearance of God. How great is your faithfulness. How wonderful is your patience. And how amazing is your grace. Lord, for the things you're doing in our hearts and lives, we just do thank you. Some things we are not aware of, but Lord, at times you work and we stand back and we marvel at the things you do. Thank you. And Lord, because there are needs, there are some things that are serious out there in our lives or in lives of those who we know, within our own town here, a family losing a loved one, other types of needs for Jill again, Lord, for mercy to her in her recovering, and others. Lord, it's your great grace. So Lord, again, we pray for those over us in authority, for your wisdom to them, and for those in high places who truly do belong to Jesus Christ. Help them to stand for what is right and what is true. And yet we realize, Lord, you're the God over all, not just the universe, but over the nations and kingdoms of men. And Lord, it's your schedule and it's your agenda, ultimately, that will come to pass. So Lord, however you are working in the kingdoms of man now, just give us grace to trust you. So Lord, from the smallest thing in our lives to things in which our lives have no control about, thank you that you are God. To whom else could we go? No one, really. So Lord, for your blessing, please, on your word, as we are studying and looking intently and intensely into this section about how everything began. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, with this series, I've been trying to catch up with some of the latest things going on about what people have come up with, and especially what scientists are studying. Things that the more they study, the more questions are raised. So that's when you can start to tell, are these honest individuals or do they have an agenda that they want to pass? Things like, I shared briefly, I'll just do it briefly, this is free of charge. I just found out about this, is physics. When you have something going in a circle and it's made up of a bunch of stuff, and then you release it all, as the things go out from the circle, they all spin in the same direction. It's just the way it goes. The direction they were spinning before, they kind of, on their own, keep spinning that way. So you'd think, planets and all that kind of thing. Do you know in our solar system, there are two planets spinning backwards? All the rest of them are spinning one direction, as the Earth, different speeds, but they're all going the same way, except for two planets that are going the other way. And this causes questions to those who study such things seriously. Why are they doing that? Because their little rebel heart planets are going, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go backwards. Well, no. But it's just one of those things they cannot explain. Anyhow, I agree with one writer, and I'll put in my own words in a shorter version. The thought, the theory, the idea, just so you know where I'm coming from, that the world and the universe took a long time, longer than you and I have been around. And with chance, just random things happening. And out of that came design and order and thought and everything else, all under the umbrella of evolution, is one of the grandest, most well-financed lies that has ever been propagated upon the human race. It's not that old either. It's from the, 1800s, Darwin, basically? 1800s, mid-1800s. And it just sort of caught fire because now they had a way to explain the theory of everything without God. And there is out there something called the theory of everything. The theory of everything. But God is outside the box in their thinking. It is one of the grandest lies that's ever been propagated. I mean, at least when cultures came up with, how did everything get here? Well, first of all, there was a giant turtle, and then on top of the giant turtle, this thing happened. At least they start with a turtle. But now modern science that follows the lie of evolution has even done away with the turtle. What are you going to do if you don't have a turtle to start with? That's my sense of humor, folks. Like I said in Genesis, you are permitted to smile from time to time. Because some of the stuff they come up with, it's funny. Only they take it serious. It's one of the grandest lies ever. There. Get that off my chest. I'll probably say it again. Oh, but I like what the Bible says better because it starts, and say it with me, please, the first four words of Genesis 1:1. You got it memorized. I know you do. In the beginning, God. There you go. You're starting to memorize the Bible. And so you start with a God who is amazing and all-powerful. And from Job 42, Job finally says to God, I know that you can do everything. And Jeremiah 32, Ah, Lord God, behold, you made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. Now, just in case Jeremiah knew what he was saying, Jeremiah 32, verse 17, God answers back in Jeremiah 32, verse 27 to Jeremiah, behold, I am the God of all the flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Quoting Jeremiah at his own words. Genesis 18, is anything too hard for the Lord? Matthew 19, 26, Jesus looked at them and said, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Psalm 115, verse 3, our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Martin Luther, for those who might have a little bit of that in the background, Martin Luther, good man, said, quote, "I have often said that whoever would study Holy Scripture should be sure to see to it that he stays with the simple words as long as he can, and by no means departs from them unless an article of faith compels him to understand them differently." In other words, maybe another part of the Bible compels him to understand them differently. "For of this we must be certain, no clearer speech has been heard on earth than what God has spoken." No clearer speech has been heard on earth than what God has spoken. He spoke it and he made it clear so that all people in all times of history, in every culture, could understand what he says. No clearer speech. So for those who do otherwise. So we've been looking at Genesis 1. And Dave, is there something out there? The who, what, why one. Because in Genesis 1, especially verse 1, we get the... gotta have the stars. We get to the ones with the first who, what, why. Or who, what, when. In the beginning was, no, not the First Baptist Church. There. The when, in the beginning, actually when God created time, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. First verse, and it answers those questions. By the way, I came across something in my study, interesting, because you know, this is the beginning of time. But the Bible says that God has been around, I'll put it in layman's terms, longer than that. Longer. Eternity, infinity past, which has no start. So what was he doing? A number of things. But one thing he was doing in Ephesians 1:4, before the foundation of the world, God chose us, his people, in Jesus. Before the foundation of the world. If you know Jesus Christ right now as your Lord and Savior, you are in the mind and thoughts of God before he began time, before the foundation. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4. And another thing, too, that's amazing. 1 Peter 1, we haven't been at 1 Peter for quite a while, but I'll just give it to you. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 20. "You know that it was not with perishable things like silver or gold that we were redeemed from that empty way of life handed down to us from our forefathers, but we were redeemed," that's understood, "with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or spot." And here it is. He was foreordained before the foundation of the world. So before God even made the world, he already had in mind what his purposes were. Who was going to be on it? That his son was going to have to die. And those who would believe in him. Before the foundation of the world. So let's get to Genesis. So we've got the who, what, when, where. Now, what did God create? Heaven. Heavens. And since the Hebrews don't have a word for universe, heavens is sky and earth. Earth is that which is matter, that which is firm. And then we found in Genesis 1:2, the earth was without form and void. If you weren't here last week, those wonderful Hebrew words, tohu and bohu. Now, not tofu in your refrigerator section, or boohoo, which is an expression of an emotion. It's tohu and bofu. And I won't ask you to repeat those after me. But basically, it's without form and it's empty. That's how he created, to begin with, without form and empty. And darkness, because there's no light, darkness, verse 2, was on the face of the deep. And face is an interesting word. They translate it face because it means that which turns. Now, I think there's a secondary meaning to that, which we'll get to later. Face, that which turns. The face of the deep. What's the deep? Says later in the verse, waters. Waters. God started with water. Bless you. Water. And again, I'll repeat because it's in scientific magazines. They're discovering the way they date things. There's water on Earth that's older than the sun. Water on Earth older than the sun. Yeah, by 4 days. No, wait a second. In their timetable, the solar system is 4.5 billion years old. In their timetable, I don't buy it. It's way too young. And water is 4.54 billion years old. So it's some millions. How can you have water older than the sun? And where did the water come from? And we will find that Genesis chapter 1 answers that. Water older than the sun. God started with water. Which again, as a matter of fact, you know, they send up all these space probes and stuff. And what's one thing they're looking for? Water. Water. Oh, we found this on Mars or whatever. And it's, it looks like giant icicles. Can you sled on those? Well, I don't know. But they look for water. Water. Why? Because water is important to life. So they're hoping by water that they'll get to life. But wait a second. We know now water is water and life is life, and life doesn't come from water. It's got to have other things to it. Water. But they're finding water in lots of places. By the way, since the Bible is, turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, if you would, 2 Peter, because the Bible is its own best commentary. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. 2 Peter 3, 3 through 6, and since the Bible is timeless, even talks about things that are way in advance. Knowing this first, scoffers, 2 Peter 3, 3. Scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where's the promise of his coming? This Jesus coming, where's that? Because since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. But you get to verse 5. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God, here we go, creation. The heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water. Water. And then he takes you right to the flood, by which, that water, the world that then existed perished, which means it was ruined. It wasn't destroyed, ruined is what it means. Perished, being flooded with water. There you go, right to the flood. He jumps from Genesis 1 to 6 or wherever it is. Creation, the flood. Water. Now, water does not, he starts with water, and it does not stay a floating gas cloud with no mass to it. Water. Because you look at clouds, and it's like, well, they're all sorts. There's a cloud that looks like a rhinoceros, and cloud that looks like a mountain, and clouds that looks like whatever. Water. Clouds. Because if you go to Proverbs 8:27, you can just note it if you're taking notes. I didn't have something for this morning. It says in Proverbs 8:27 about God's creation, He drew a circle on the face of the deep. He drew a circle on the face of the deep. And where have I heard that phrase, face of the deep, before? How about Genesis chapter 1? Because it says, verse 2, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And then you go to Proverbs 8:27. He drew a circle. Now, there's no real Hebrew word that really is a sphere, but they have one that's translated once in the Bible as a ball. But that it's kind of loosely translated, because the same word translated ball can also be translated pile. Okay, so that's pretty loose there. Ball, pile. Depends on the context. But they don't have one for sphere itself. So they do circle. He drew a circle. Oh, circle. Now, what it means is, not to us like a circle, but a circle from every perspective you can think of, since God is in all places. So, Janaea, I need your help. Just making sure you're awake. We can prove this circle scientifically. So come up here. Because you're a willing helper, aren't you? Yes, mother. Mother's out there. Wait till your mother. We're going to prove this scientifically. Circle. Since God is all places one time and from His perspective. Now, if you squint real hard, what does this look like?
A ball.
A ball, but what's the shape of it?
A sphere.
What's the shape of it? If you put this flat, what would it look like?
A plate.
Well, a circle is a round circle. Just say circle. It's a circle, right? Circle. However, she's looking out from one side. How about if you come over here? If you look at it from this side, what does it look like? Say circle.
Circle.
Okay. Now, how about if you looked at it from the top? What does it look like?
Say circle.
Circle. You're learning. And how about if you looked at it from underneath?
Circle.
Good. You're done. Thank you. There you go. Circle. Because God can see it from every angle conceivable, and from every angle conceivable, it looks the same. It's round. No matter how you look at it. He drew a line on the circle of the earth, so the circle is getting now to form and shape. I said the Bible is its own best, so here we go. Genesis 2. Genesis 1, verse 2. This darkness is on the face of the deep. There's no light yet. Darkness. And darkness means darkness. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Who's over the water? The Spirit of God. The Spirit. The Ruach, or however it's pronounced correctly, in Hebrew. It's the same that can be translated breath. Because you have Job 33:4. The Ruach Elohim, the breath of God, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty, Job said, or the writer in Job 33, the speaker, gives me life. Job 26, by the Ruach Spirit, He ordered the heavens. Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all their hosts, and by the Ruach, Spirit of His mouth. Spirit. It is interesting that the Spirit hovers, verse 2, towards the bottom. Beautiful word. Footnote, Deuteronomy 32:11. Here's the picture. It says, as an eagle hovers over its young. An eagle hovers over its young. Beautiful picture. The bird that's there, the nest, the young, and the bird that's there, hovering above its young. Same word. As the Spirit of God hovers over the waters. Now, it is not too much of a stretch to say that this indicates a divine participation by the Spirit of God. Also, since it's used as, I don't know my eagles well enough, would it be the mama bird? I don't know. Let's just say the mama bird, hovering over her young as a form of care for them. As the mama would hover over her young. Deuteronomy, the Spirit's hovering. So now through Jesus Christ, we have the Spirit of God in us. But he's still the one that, in a sense, works his care over our lives. Like, Jesus would use that later, would he not? Like a mother hen over her chicks. And back in the Old Testament, as an eagle would hover, how he takes care of our lives. He really does. Find out my own notes here. Okay. Verse 3. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Waters. Keep going, Dave. Light. This is my idea. Albert Einstein, probably one of the greatest scientists of all time, said, quote unquote, no pun intended, even though he had a great sense of humor, for the rest of my life, I will reflect on what light is. No pun intended. Some of you didn't get that. Oh well. For the rest of my life, I will reflect on what light is. Because even Albert Einstein, the light has such properties which are so incredible and hard to nail down. Light is one of those things that's both a wave and particle at the same time. So the waves, though, go everything from that which is visible, that we can see on a wonderful rainbow, because white light is simply the sum total of all those colors of the light spectrum together at the same time. A rainbow, the water, breaks the colors apart. But that's only visible. Light goes from everything like radio waves, microwaves, form of energy. Light is a form of energy. It's called electromagnetic radiation. Radiation, which is why if you spend too much time in the sun, you'll get a sunburn. Sunburn. Too many sunburns on the skin can turn into cancer of the skin because it's a form of radiation, electromagnetic radiation. Anyways. And then we have visible light, and then it goes ultraviolet, X-ray, and then gamma rays. And it's all energy. And yet at the same time, as a wave, it's also a particle, spots, called, put on your Star Trek cap, photons. That's where they got photon torpedo. Aim the photon torpedo, which is like, okay, like these are great big flashlights that we're sending out there. That's what they are, photons, particles. But these two things together at the same time. Light sets a speed limit for the universe. Nothing goes faster. About 186,000 miles per second. Try that in your old car. Its speed of light is one of the only constants in the entire universe. No matter where it is, it's going the same speed. And it never gets old. All the sun, all the light that the sun gives to the earth, and we only receive about 1/1,000,000,000 of what it sends out, but it's just right. 1/1,000,000,000. So all those photons that are going in all directions, unless they run into something to stop them, they'll never get old. They'll stay new and fresh 10,000 years later if they just keep on going and don't run into anything that stops them. A photon. Light is electromagnetic energy. And that's why I think this is my idea. I'll close with this, because I've been thinking about this maybe too much. But there are some things like, oh, how can there be light? And then the sun's not even made yet, right? That's the order of scripture. Well, how about if on day one, God created the entire electromagnetic realm of energy. Let's just call it energy. How about if that's where energy came from? Because you know, those who hold to the Big Bang, evolution, bang, remember that little thing? We've had the entire universe start from right there. There it is. I keep coming back to it. It's a little pinhole in the wall. And it started smaller than that, so serious people think. But how can that turn itself into energy, let alone everything else? Energy. So I think, because again, the scripture words, God said, let there be light, verse 3 and verse 4. There was light, he saw the light, divided light from darkness, verse 3 and 4. He's using a word that means illumination. Now, he uses a different word down in verse 16, where it's great light, lesser light. And those are luminous bodies, as in sun, moon, as in a light generator, the sun. It's a little bit different word. But in verse 3 and 4, it's luminous, illumination, to illuminate, to be bright, to shine. And by the way, he divided the light from the darkness, and it's day one. And so besides light and darkness being divided, what's happening? Oh, what he has as the earth is now starting to turn. And it's a day, light and dark. But in verses 3 and 4, the word is illumination, to shine. And I think, since light is a form of energy, that in verse 3, he created the whole realm of the whole spectrum of energy. The whole, and some of it, obviously, is visible. It is. Some of it in the center is visible. Some of it is not. Now, how can I say energy? Well, I'll leave you with one further thought. If you took a canister, what do they call those? Now there's pressure cooking crock pots. What's it called? Pressure cooker? Take something that you can seal off, a good pressure cooker. Suck everything out of it, even empty space. No, nothing in it whatsoever, no molecules of matter. Freeze it to absolute zero. There's no moisture, so there's no ice in there. And even at that, absolute zero, you can take out what's left of radiation. It says there would still be something there. Energy, it's known as zero-point energy. You can look it up, zero-point energy. It fills the emptiness of space. Most scientists believe if you had a volume of zero-point energy, empty space, no larger than a coffee cup, your coffee cup, and we're not talking a 40-ounce tanker, just that much, zero-point energy, it would be enough energy to evaporate all the oceans on the face of the earth. And that's is after you've extracted everything else from it, everything you can. So it's now absolute zero, and everything's taken out. Even radiation, there's still that much energy left. To just all the oceans on the face of the earth. That much energy. And so Einstein said, for the rest of my life, I will reflect on what light is. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Apart from me, people live in darkness. They walk in darkness. They're in darkness. But Jesus said, I am the light. And so when we come to him, Paul uses, we've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light. Light. All the way back to Genesis 1. I'm the light of the world, says Jesus. Isn't that great? And he who walks with me will never be in darkness. And so heaven has no need of the sun or anything else to shine, because he who sits on the throne is the light of heaven. Because in the first time in heaven, we will see what real light looks like. Because we will see the source of all light. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Just your word is so amazing, and it just, tells us of all these incredible things, which helps us to reflect back to how great of a God you are. And Lord Jesus, for you to call yourself, I am the light of the world. If anybody else would have done that, historians would not have recorded it. And if anybody does that these days, we can rightfully walk away laughing. And yet you, Lord Jesus, claim that of yourself. And everyone who heard you took you seriously. Thank you. Lord, shine your light in our lives for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymnal. We're going to sing a verse out of